in the future, you know, I would like to see Afghanistan a country where the rights of women are as much respected as the rights of men. That's my dream of a beautiful Afghanistan. That's my dream of a beautiful country. Like where I, when I see women in Canada or in Europe or in the United States, how they run in election, you know, how they do debate without any fear. I didn't want to see that Afghanistan as well, because that's what I want. And I will make it my mission, you know, to contribute to that change in the society where I, as a woman, have a respect in that society. So that's when I always say I want to become, or I want to run for the presidential election one day in that country. By that, I don't mean that I want to become a leader. By that, I mean that I'm dreaming of that Afghanistan where a woman will freely run without any intimidation, without any discrimination, and without any violence. And the rights of us would be respected as much as the rights of men. And we will be able to do and to achieve what a woman here in Canada can do, what a woman in the United States can do and can achieve.
And Ms. Sahar, I certainly have to say that you've made a lot of important points in terms of women having the right to obtain an education. And I have to say that I'm very impressed by your education and by your determination to succeed. You've certainly made a difference through the contributions that you've made. And someone such as yourself who has persevered is certainly extremely admirable to the young women out there who are listening to your story today. I have to say that the support that you received from your family, especially from your father, the fact that he told you to pursue an education and he provided you with an opportunity to study in order for you to be able to succeed and to be successful, is certainly crucial. I oftentimes get asked by today's youth, what is one of the most important things they should be pursuing? And I oftentimes tell them that education is key to success. You have to, especially as a woman, even as a woman here in Canada. I was born in Canada. However, my background is Polish. Both of my parents came from Poland and were immigrants here. And one of the things that my father told me to do is to follow my dreams, and he emphasized the importance of obtaining an education. And similar to your father, he always wanted me to have that education in order for me not to be faced with the difficulties associated with an imbalance. You know, if there is a woman that's uneducated and a male that's educated, there's that inequality, there's that imbalance. However, if a woman is educated, then she's provided with an opportunity to pursue various careers, various job prospects. And that's something that's crucial to the success of a woman, is to be independent and to have that financial independence. And in order to obtain that financial independence, a woman needs to have an education or a good career, or oftentimes you'll have to have an education in order to obtain a good position, a well-paying position, in order to be financially stable. I have to say that one of the reasons why I'm very passionate about discussing Afghanistan and focusing on the relationship between Afghanistan and Canada is because there is so much information about things that are happening in Europe, in Russia, and Ukraine. And I think that more people need to pay attention to the issues and to the concerns currently happening in Afghanistan. And one of my goals and one of the reasons why I wanted to interview you, Maryam, is because I did research about the work that you've done. And thanks to one of our program editors, Jonas Becker, I was able to get connected to you. And after looking at the work that you've done, I saw that you certainly had a huge influence with the Department of Women Affairs. And as someone who has a long-term goal of becoming the president of Afghanistan, you made a very important point when you mentioned that You'd love to see a woman be a president and to represent Afghanistan. And one of the opportunities that I had not too long ago was, as I mentioned to you earlier, was I had a chance to meet and to speak with the first ever female consul general of Afghanistan in Toronto, Miss Nazifa Langarian. And she was also one of the first ever females to work as a chief of staff in a ministry in Afghanistan. And she also taught law. She taught law to female students in Afghanistan. And I was sincerely moved by the work that she's done. And as a female who worked in Afghanistan and who is extremely well educated, I had an opportunity to discuss with her some of the challenges that she had to go through while working in Afghanistan as a highly educated female. And I have to say that a lot of the qualities that I see in her, I see in you. And you remind me of her, because that perseverance and that strength as a strong female certainly is something that can change the way that things happen in society. And I do have hope, and I do believe that as time progresses, one day there will be a president that's a female, and that the president of Afghanistan will be a female. And I think that that's something that should happen. As you know, in the United States of America, President Obama was the first president. And I think that in the United States of America, one day there will be a female president as well. So another question I wanted to ask you is, I wanted you to discuss some of the differences you would make as a strong female president of Afghanistan.
Well, you know what? I will have to be frank here to answer this question. It's going to depend on time. If I ever become the president of Afghanistan or any other, or get involved in any other high level of political position, my platform would be always to focus on education for both girls and boys, because I strongly believe in education. Education is the main key to bring a change in a society, or to make a difference in the lives of both men and women. And I personally have seen the positive influence of an educated nation on the world, and unfortunately, this rights of getting an education has been taken away from the Afghan people, and I really would like to bring that back to my country and to my people, because we do have the same rights like any other person in the world to get a good education and do what we want to do to make a difference in the world and in Afghanistan. So education would be the first thing that I would like to focus on more. And the second thing is to work on to improve our institutions. I'm hoping that by the time I get to Afghanistan, we will have a better institution free of corruption and with capable and talented people and caring people who cares for the country, not for their personal benefits or just to put money in their personal pockets and care about their own families and not about the country. Because when you are a leader, you are not a leader for yourself or for your family to make money for them and to give them a good life. You are a leader for a country, and you're responsible for that country, and you have the responsibility to make sure that your fellow citizen have a good life and a good future. So that would definitely to do with strengthening and making our institution better, making it much better than what it is right now. The third thing I would like to focus on is the rule of law, especially the justice, because as you see right now, the justice system is very corrupt, and the criminal walks free on the street. The rights of women have been violated in many, many cases. And there are a lot of crimes in Afghanistan right now that are not considered as a crime. And they have been seen as an honor issue. Because as soon as it is a man and a woman involved in a crime, most of the time the government would take it as an honor thing and release a man. And then that would violate the rights of a woman. So there shouldn't be anything, such a thing, with the name of honor. If it's a crime, it has to be treated as a crime. And so that would be the third or the fourth thing that I would focus on. And the fifth thing would be, I would like to focus on the economic of the country, because we are very, we have a lot of resources in Afghanistan that can definitely make us a better country. In terms of economic relations with our neighbors and with the world. But before the economic, achieving our or working on the economic sector of the country, we really have to focus on the security, because right now the security is not good. That's why the government are not able to access those resourceful areas so they can take it out and sell it or make money and make sure that the economy is going well. So that economic would be a really bigger part, because when your economy is good, or when you have a good economic relations with other country, that country will also see you as an important ally or as an important country in the area. Because right now, when I see the world, or I talk to people here sometime about helping Afghanistan or about not forgetting Afghanistan, to be honest, I sometimes get very disappointed by their responses, because they tell me, oh, Afghanistan is not any more important. What Afghanistan offers for the world? Nothing.
I completely, you know what, and that's one of the main reasons why I want people to understand the significance of Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a very crucial country, and there are a lot of opportunities in terms of being involved with the economy. Like you mentioned, Afghanistan is very rich in natural resources, and that's something that the Consul General of Afghanistan, Ms. Nazifa Langarian, mentioned, is that Afghanistan has a lot of rich resources, and building a strong relationship between Canada and Afghanistan, the United States of America and Afghanistan, can be extremely crucial and significant for the success, economic success of Canada, United States of America, and various other countries that become involved with Afghanistan. Another point that I wanted to make is the fact that more people need to understand the significance of helping people who come to this country and are newcomers. And one of the main points that I make, and one of the main arguments that I make, is that Canada needs to continue to help refugees. That the plan that is currently put in place to help 25,000 refugees is good. However, that number needs to increase. There are millions of people suffering right now, and one of the top priorities, main priorities that should be set in place, is helping the refugees here in Canada. And at the same time, other countries such as the United States of America should do the same. If you look at Germany, Germany has been involved in helping the refugees. However, other European countries need to follow the lead of Canada and Germany in order to assist and to help as many refugees as possible. And another thing that needs to be focused on is the fact that once the refugees come to the country, they should then be provided with services such as accessibility to education, accessibility to various jobs. We discussed this earlier. One of the interviews I did not too long ago was with the Vice President of Career Edge. And Career Edge provides services and employment for newcomers and immigrants. So that's something that I think more organizations need to be doing, especially the government, should focus on not only helping people come from Afghanistan to Canada, but once refugees and once people are here, newcomers and immigrants are here in this country, You need to provide them with accessibility to education, to employment, to various opportunities in order for these individuals to have an opportunity to live